We are talking about Advent. Advent, the first week in Advent, Advent 1. And Advent, I don't know if, does anyone know what the word Advent means? Go on, shout it out. What does Advent mean? Looking towards, yes? Coming, yeah, looking towards coming. It literally means coming, like, so we're remembering when Jesus came. So we're looking forward to Christmas, Jesus coming. But we're also saying he will come again. Advent is just as much about that hope for the future when Jesus will come again. So we remember that he came, but we remember that he is going to come again. I wonder what you're like when you are waiting for something. What are you like? Are you a good waiter? I don't mean can you carry glasses of wine around to tables. I mean, that's a terrible joke, wasn't it? Are you good at waiting for things? Are you good at that? Do you enjoy the moment of waiting? Sometimes the anticipation of waiting is good, isn't it? I remember as a kid waiting for, I knew what present I was going to get, and I got given the instruction booklet of this Seiko digital watch. And I remember for weeks before, I'd lie in bed reading the instruction book of this Seiko digital watch, anticipating the day when I would actually have the watch. And I knew how to operate that watch so well long before I ever had the watch. So when I got it, it was great. What are you like at waiting? Do you enjoy waiting, or do you just get impatient? This time of year is all about waiting, isn't it? Especially for children, they get really excited. But hopefully, you get excited too, as well as a grown-up, about what we're going to be celebrating and what Christmas can mean. I know Christmas can sometimes be difficult for some of us, but it can be a really lovely time of getting together with friends and getting together with families. There's always I always think of. One of the best times I ever had when waiting for something was when our eldest son Joel had gone away for a few months, and he was right over in Australia, and he'd been away for a few months. We were waiting for him at the airport. Airport arrival gates are great, aren't they? Have you ever just watched people at airport arrival gates and how they're looking forward to seeing the person that they haven't seen for a long time come? And I remember that waiting for Joel to walk through that security gate. Pip and I were there at the airport, and we were waiting with anticipation to see our son again as he came through. And he'd lost about half of his weight, hadn't he? We didn't recognise him at first, but it was lovely, you know, with that moment when he comes to. I mean, Love Actually. That film, isn't it? That so many of us watch at Christmas time, and that scene at the end, isn't there, where there's the airport arrival gate, isn't there, where it's all those different scenes of people. Meeting each other and welcoming each other, that waiting, that anticipation. So what I would love you to do, I would love you, just for the first thing, turn to people around you, say hello to people, try and say hello to someone you don't know, make sure, we want to make sure that everyone here this morning feels welcome, so please don't leave people on their own, unless they want to be on their own. You'll tell if someone wants to be on their own, because somebody sat like this. But if they don't want to be on their own, please don't make sure that someone doesn't feel like they're on their own. And turn to each other and go, what is the best thing you've ever waited for? And was the waiting easy or hard? What's the best thing you've ever waited for? And was the waiting easy or hard? 2 minutes, go. Okay. You just want to be bringing those chats to a close? It's always dangerous doing this at the beginning of a talk. I'm never going to get you back. Does anyone want to share the best thing that they've waited for? Children? Any children or all grown-ups? Anyone want to share what's the best thing they've waited for? I've shared some of mine. Andrew. Hang on. I'll come to you. Because I know you've got a tiny voice and you don't speak much.
I wait for dinner every day. I'm at mealtimes, just waiting for mealtimes. I feel like I just spend my life waiting for the next meal, and it's almost always worth it. And the waiting's hard.
Good. Good. That doesn't surprise me, that one. Anyone else? Is that a hand up there? Great.
Christmas.
Ah, great. Christmas, yeah. How many other people are looking forward to Christmas? Yeah, there's a lot of people here with you. Yeah. Anyone else? Margaret.
Well, worst hard time to wait for me. I mean, I've had six children, and every single pregnancy, I was dying for the end to come.
I can't say I empathise, but yeah, I understand. Anyone else? Over there. Hiya.
In the car, waiting to go to Grandma and Granddad's house.
Oh, going in the car, waiting to go to Grandma and Granddad's house. And do you get all impatient? You just can't wait to get there. Yeah, that's a great one. Thank you. Great. Well, thank you for sharing those. What I want to do is just point us to a couple of things from Abraham. Now, Abraham was someone who lived a long, long time ago. He's sometimes called the first Advent person. If you remember that video that we watched, it was talking about how he had a promise from God. Him and his wife, Sarah, had a promise from God that one day his descendants, their descendants would be like the stars in the sky. But that was hard for them to believe. In Genesis 12, 1 to 2, it says this. This is in the first book of the Bible, in Genesis 12, 1 to 2. God says to Abraham, go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. And they were like, how can that happen? How can you bless all nations through me when I haven't got any descendants? How can that happen? And Abraham receives this enormous promise from God, and then nothing. Not even nothing for a few days. It was nothing for years and decades, holding on to that promise, waiting. Is it true what he said? Is it really true? Is that really going to happen? In Romans 4, it says that against all hope, Abraham in hope believed. If you want something that sums up what Advent is about, it is about hope. Even if it doesn't feel like there should be hope. It's hope because we are trusting in the person who brings hope, not because it always looks like it's going to work out. So those songs that we were singing, you know, even when I don't feel it, you're working. It's that. That's Advent. It's trusting in God. And Abraham did this. Abraham and his wife Sarah did this through years and years and years, hoping that this promise that God had given them would come true. I wonder if you have promises or hopes that you're waiting for still. You have a longing in your heart. I want that to come true. I believe this is who you are, God. I believe this is what you want to do. But you haven't seen it yet. You haven't seen him come through yet. That's Advent. There's an ache with Advent. There's an ache for something to be coming true that hasn't yet come true. So I just want to talk about two things that we learned from Advent, from looking at Abraham. The first one is this: hope isn't optimism, hope is trust. Biblical hope isn't pretending everything is fine. I've got not very little time for people who pretend everything is fine. That sounds really unpastoral, doesn't it? I was trying to think how the words... I have lots of time for lots of people. But I never want us to be a church where we pretend that everything is okay. Because it isn't. There are lots of good things about life. But we know, the longer you live, the more you journey through life, you know that life is a bumpy course. And it's not always okay. So we should never pretend that everything is okay. We should never do that, because it's just not helpful. But we should always point to the one who journeys with us through the light and dark of life, through the shades of life. Hope isn't based on what is the circumstances around us. Hope is based on the person that we know, on the truth of the character of who God is. That's what hope is. It isn't pretending. It's not, I'm sure it'll all work out. Hope is saying, I don't see how this will work out, but I trust the person who will walk with me through it. That's the difference. That's what Advent hope is. I don't know if you use Google Maps. I was trying to think of illustrations. I've used an illustration about walking in the peaks with my dad about 10 times, so I thought I'd change my illustration this time. But Google Maps, I don't know if you... I use it all the time, and Pip and I were talking the other day, can't even remember a time when we didn't have Google Maps. You go to somewhere and you're able to search and it takes you to places. I do remember the days when you got your atlas out and you wrote on your A4 sheets of paper all the different directions. Some people will remember those days. Some people will be going, haven't a clue what you're talking about. But you remember your big AA atlas roadmap? We don't have that anymore. We now have Google Maps. But, you know, I've on the odd occasion, I've seen what Google Maps wants to take me to and gone, no, that's not right. That's a wrong route. And so I've gone, I know the right route. And I've gone the right route and then inevitably come to this big pile of traffic that Google Maps knew was there, and which was why it was taking me around this other route. But me and my kind of, no, I know the way. And it's a little bit like that as well. Trusting God knows the right thing for us, even though we don't always feel it, we don't always see, we go, no, I don't think that's right. But because we know God is good, because we know God is kind and he wants the best for us, we'll go with it, even though it doesn't feel like it's the right route. Trusting in the one. So what matters is how well we know God, doesn't it? The more we get to know his character, the more we get to know that he is good and he's for us, the more we're prepared to put our hand in his and go on that journey that we're not quite sure about, but we know he's good for us and he's right and he won't leave us and he'll help us through that and he'll walk with us through that. So hope is not optimism. It is about trusting in the character and nature of God. God doesn't promise clarity, he promises his presence. God doesn't promise clarity, he promises his presence. Psalm 23, you know this psalm so well. As you learn to walk with him and hold his hand through all that happens in life, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I know that you are with me. He doesn't say, I'll transport you to the other side of the valley and we'll get out of that. He says, I'll walk with you through it. And in the walking with you through it, you'll learn more about me and you'll learn more about yourself. It's not always easy, but that is the truth. That's the hope that we have. And then the second thing, the now and the not yet. We live in the same tension Abraham and Sarah lived in. They had this promise. They were told by God, you will have many, many descendants. So many, it'll be like the stars in the sky. This picture that I got has got lots of stars, but unfortunately it's a bit dark. So but hopefully you can see a few stars there. You'll have so many descendants, they'll be like the stars in the sky. But they didn't see it.
They didn't see it. We're told that Abraham and Sarah were really old by the time they had their first child, by the time they had Isaac, over 100. But they held on to the hope that God's promise had given them. And they believed, even though they didn't see the realization of that hope. They lived in this tension of, we know it will be better one day, but we're not seeing it right now. Again, I wonder if you ever feel like that. We know that there are good things, but we know it's also not the way it should be. And if we're honest, we know we're not the way we should be. I know that. I know I'm not the way I should be, and I know there is one day when I will be fully transformed into the person that God originally intended me to be, and that's the same for you as well. We live in this tension of the now and not yet. But we've seen enough, we've tasted enough of who God is to go, I'll trust you in this. I'll trust that one day your promise will be properly realized. Jesus has come. It's a little bit like, I don't know, the light. Have you ever gone and watched dawn breaking? Like sometimes at Easter people go, don't they, and wait for the sun to rise. Have you ever done that? Or when I was younger and we stayed up all night and you didn't go to bed and then you suddenly saw the dawn breaking and you see that first bit of light shining in the distance coming through. Dawn breaking. It's like that. We've seen the dawn and we know that the full light of day will one day come. But in the moment, we live in that kind of, that little bit, you know, where the sun's just starting to rise. But we know that the direction of it is one day it's going to be a full day of light. Jesus has come. The light has begun to shine, but the story isn't finished. The world is not as it should be. Our lives aren't what we long for them to be. We know that God is light, but we also still feel the darkness. One of my favorite preachers who we used to listen to a lot was Joyce Meyer. I don't know if any of you will ever listen to Joyce Meyer. She used to say this thing, I may not be where I want to be, but thank God I'm not where I used to be. I love that phrase. I may not be where I want to be, but thank God I'm not where I used to be. That's that thing, that tension. I am being transformed, but I'm not there yet. That's Advent. That's the Advent hope. That's the Advent ache, if you like, of there is going to be more. Okay. Second discussion, and then we'll finish. Just thinking about this is a little bit more of a deep one, and if you would prefer just to reflect on them personally, that's fine. But I think it's helpful for us to share with each other. Like, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? Where do you long for God's light to shine? Now, talking personally, that's a bit harder, but there might be things, you're very welcome to do that. I know there's things in my life that aren't right yet, and I'm constantly seeking for God to change and transform me in. But there's plenty of things in the world, plenty of things, people I love that I would love to see God's light to shine in their life. Situations I would love to see God's light to shine. And I'd love us just to share what's on your heart. If I was talk to you about the ache of Advent, that now and not yet, that longing, you know that God is good. You know that he is true and one day he will make this right. What is that thing that you are waiting for him to make right? Where do you want to see light in dark places? So let's just do that again. Turn back to the same groups, maybe just 2 or 3 minutes, just talking about this. Yeah.
Talking about maps.
Yeah.
Great. If you want to be bringing those chats to a close. Okay, I'd love just to finish with just us pausing and asking God for ourselves how we're going to wait this Advent. Just before we do, Shirley's just going to come and share a sense of God that she had, something she just will help be helpful, hopefully, for us all.
Okay, when Mike was talking about maps, it came very strongly to my mind. There's a Christian church we go to when we go to Spain, and talking to one of the guys there, we were talking about James's walk through and our walk through cancer and how the Lord's been with us and walking in the darkness. And he was saying, yeah, he said, it's like being in a labyrinth and there's no lights, and you're stumbling around, and sometimes you find a passageway and you go down it, and sometimes you just hit a wall in the dark. And he said, sometimes we just long for a map. Lord, just show me. I want a map so I know where I'm going. And he said, but, you know, the thing is, if you had a map, the danger is that you then lean on the map.
Thanks, Shirley. It's hard, isn't it, but learning to be able to trust, put your hand in someone else's hand and trust that they'll lead you through something even though you can't see it. And that's what we're talking about with God. I just want to finish by just giving us a chance to say, how am I going to wait? How are you going to wait this Advent series? How are you going, this Advent time, this period, this season, how are you going to give space for God to speak to you, for you to really engage with him in honesty, in honest prayer, where you're wrestling with him and saying, God, I long for this to happen. I long to see light break into this place. The danger I find with this season is it just happens. And before you know it, you're the other side, and it's just gone. And it really takes intentional work, doesn't it, to stop and to actually reflect on what God might be wanting to say to him. It's not that God isn't there. He's there all the time waiting to speak with us, isn't it? But it's whether or not we stop and we give him time. So can I just encourage you, waiting isn't passive when we're talking about Advent waiting. It's not like I'm just going to wait and I'm going to count down the days to the holiday, like we sometimes do. It's active. So what will you do actively in the waiting? What does it look like for you to reflect on the promises of God for you, for us as a whole? What does it look like for you to do that? Read scripture. Maybe use the prayer room that we've got over here. Book the prayer room out. Come and use the prayer room. It's a bit like me with that watch. I actively waited. I actively read the instruction booklet so that I was ready for when the watch came. I was given the watch. What are you going to do that actively waits? Reading, maybe like an Advent series. You know, there's loads online now, isn't there? Like the Bible app, they've got loads of Advent series. But what would it look like for you just to pause in this season and actively wait with God? So, as we begin Advent, let's remember that God is faithful, that our hope is in him, the dawn is breaking, and the day will come. One day he will come again. Like Abraham, we're called to trust in him, even though we don't always see the fulfillment of what the promise says. He has come, he is with us, and he will come again. So let's just pause. Let's just pray together. I'm just going to say a prayer to help us to offer ourselves to God in this season. Father God, thank you that you are faithful to every promise. In the places where we are waiting, would you strengthen our hope? Where the night feels dark, let your light rise and shine upon us. Teach us, Lord, to wait with trust and with expectation and with joy. May we be reminded this season of the great God that we believe in, of the truth of your love for each one of us, and that one day you will make all things new and all things right again. Amen. Great. Children, you're so good. I don't know if any children want to show us something that they've been doing before we move on. Do any children want to show us something they've been doing? Because it's really important you're with us. And I think the craft you've been doing has been to do with what we've been talking about. This is a risk, this. Any children want to talk to us? They're so busy engrossed. Anyone want to show us anything they've been doing? Any colouring or painting or craft? Chad, you can't volunteer. Come on then. Great. Such a happy, willing volunteer. What are you going to show? Are you okay coming up here so people can see you? Is that all right? Great. So what have you...
This is a bracelet for my teacher at school.
Oh, that's lovely. What's your teacher's name?
Miss Barsley and Miss Lomas.
Oh, two teachers. You get two. Well done. That's beautiful. Shall we just hold it up? That's the bracelet you just made. That's lovely, isn't it? You get a clap. Thank you for showing us that. That's great. Thank you. No? Yeah. I'll come down here, actually. It's easier, isn't it, for you? What have you done here?
A waterfall with a tree.
A waterfall with a tree? And why did you choose to make that?
I don't really know.
Good. There's a mystery. That's great. It's wonderful. Where's the tree? Oh, okay. There. And where's the waterfall? Here. Oops. Just broken it. Sorry. Thank you for showing us that. I would take it away from me quickly before I break some more. Thank you. Go on in. What have you made?
A book.
You've made a book. What does your book... Have you written in your book? No. Do you know what your book's going to be about? No? Do you know why you made a book? No? Shall we just show people that your book? Because it's really lovely. It's got glitter. Is it okay if I hold it up? Look at that. It's a little book that she's made with glittery stuff on and a yellow ribbon. That's brilliant. You could maybe write in there a little story, couldn't you? Thank you. Anyone else? Great. Well, it's so good to be together. And children, thank you for being so good and playing with your craft quietly. It's good to have you with us. So we're going to worship. We're going to finish by worshiping together. I'm going to hand over to Jill, who's going to pad whilst I walk to the piano.